Hello, can everyone hear? Yes, good. Well, it's so good to be here. Let me just give everyone a moment just to get into the room. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for joining again this Sunday. And so I thought I'd just start with a couple of announcements, and one, just a big thank you to everyone who's been supporting the Satsang with your donations. It's deeply appreciated. It's through your help that this program can continue. So I just wanted to thank everyone for that. I have a couple notes here about upcoming events. I will be at the Science and Non-Duality Conference October 26th through the 28th. That's in San Jose, California, right south of San Francisco. On November 17th and 18th, I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Victory of Light Festival, offering in-person sessions, and I'll be giving two talks there. Also, coming up in December or January, I'm still working out the details. It looks like I'll be teaching for a weekend in Aspen, Colorado. And so if you're in the neighborhood and if you're interested in the teachings, we'd love to see you. There'll be details about everything on my website coming soon. So just stay updated for that. And of course, you can join the newsletter to keep you up to date on everything. And so I'm going to invite everyone to fully arrive here, or to settle in, to give yourself permission to fully be here. And so I'm going to ring the sound of the bell, and I'm going to invite you just to allow the bell to draw you inward. And so we'll all together take a deep, full breath. And so I invite you to fully be here, to feel your feet on the floor, your bottom supported by the chair or the cushion, and give yourself permission to put everything down, to stop, and to join me in this sacred space. And this evening, I'm going to invite everyone to pay particular attention to what I call the energetics of awakening, the energetics of the subtle body. So this path is a path of feeling, of experiencing, of opening oneself. And so I thought it might be fun to start at the most humble of places. You can start down in your toes and in the ball of your feet and just feel this quiet sense of radiance there. And so we're just bringing this sense of awareness deep into our feet, our toes, our ankles, our shins, our calves, our knees, our thighs and the pelvis. And we're just inviting the whole lower part of our subtle energetic body to awaken, to come online, and to feel this quiet presence of energetic aliveness, this energetic innocence. And so you can just take some deep, full breaths, just feeling and experiencing. This is what the path is about. Not so much about the words, but about the direct experience. And so can you inwardly smile and breathe and feel this sense of quiet presence in your feet, your ankles, your calves, your shins, your knees, your thighs, your pelvis. Even take a deep, full belly breath and feel. Feel your lower belly opening and relaxing in the hara. And so we're breathing, we're feeling. I encourage you to relax the solar plexus. And just feel. Feel this quiet sense of aliveness, which is your very nature. It's the nature you've always been. And so, of course, we're opening and including the heart. And so, what does your heart feel like this evening? Is it relaxed and open? Is it heavy? Is there a sense of mundaneness there? And of course, the invitation here is to relax, to open, to feel, to let go. If there's anyone in your life you need to forgive, then by all means, let us forgive them now. Let us let go of this weight, this heaviness. Whatever it is that's troubled you, can you put it down? And come into this quiet, innocent presence. And yes, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you, Marco. To you, Ivy. To you, Suzanne. And Cindy. And Lynn. And Eileen. Jacqueline. Can you open your heart? Can you feel this innocence thing? And Myrna, can you join me in allowing your heart to be open, to be relaxed? And smile, please smile. Smile at your goodness. Smile as you let go into your truth. Can you open into your beauty, your absolute beauty and innocence? And join me in feeling, experiencing your beauty. And so, of course, we're allowing this beauty, this innocence, this feeling of aliveness to fill the space of the chest, the belly, the pelvis, the legs, the feet, the arms, the hands. We're allowing the throat chakra to open. And we're inviting this sense of radiance and innocence to spread throughout the space of the third eye. And so we're not paying attention to any thoughts, because in this moment, in this moment, thought is irrelevant. Excuse me, thought is irrelevant. Can you feel the spacious innocence of the space that you call the mind and allow it to be flooded with this quiet, radiant beauty, this luminosity? And then, yes, can you come to your crown and imagine yourself as a king or queen of your universe? And so you're opening the crown and receive a guiding light, this presence from heaven above, and we're inviting it to come into us, to flood our being. And so, are you open, Michelle? Are you receptive, Thane? Are you, who's hearing the sound of my voice, are you willing to receive this incredible grace that wants nothing more than to bless you right here, right now? To Tony, are you inviting this holiness to come into you? The grace of Saint Germain, are you inviting it forward? This truth. Are you giving yourself permission to be blessed? To be blessed. It's a small price to pay to put everything down and to say, yes, I'm willing to open my heart. Yes, I'm willing to receive. Yes. I'm willing to allow God to bless me in this moment. Yes. Of course, in order to meet in this way, we must be willing to put down that which is unholy, put down that which is conditioned, put down that which is simply a movement of habit. And can you join me in this most holy of moments and simply receive? Receive this grace from above. Receive this grace from below. And allow these two energies to meet within you. Meet within you. And they're meeting in this space of openness, the space of your true nature, which is already perfect, but as God comes into us more so, our innate goodness becomes more good, more brilliant, more beautiful, more flooded with light. And so this is the invitation. Can we be open and receive? Can we be open and receive, George? Can you open your heart now and say yes? Yes. I'm willing to put everything down. I'm willing to allow my past to die and simply be this empty vessel. And of course, God doesn't allow us to empty too long. As soon as we are empty, she fills us with her grace, with her love, with her light. And so will you join me from this space of humility and receive. Receive that which is greater than you. That which is greater than the past. That which is greater than our conditioning. That which is greater than who we thought we were. Can you wake up and see that you are this incredible silence, this eternal innocence, this absolute freedom? And smile. Smile and fall in love with yourself. For you are the most beautiful being in the world. You are the most beautiful angelic presence. You are the Buddha, the Christ, the great Dakini, the goddess. You are one with all of creation. Can you open up and receive your glory and your divinity? And say, yes, I'm not that silly old mind. I'm not the things that have happened to me. I'm not my job or my career. What I am is this quiet, awake, aware presence. Can you be this which you are? And so I'm going to invite you to take one more deep, full breath. Invite you to continue to open and to experience the hugeness of what you are. And so this evening, I thought I might speak about the energetics of awakening. So often people spiritual awakening is a movement. It's a sense of aliveness. It's a sense of divinity that's felt, that's experienced directly. And so I invite you to imagine the whole path, the totality of the path, is about stepping into your experience. And in order to step into our experience, we have to feel. We have to feel. And so can you feel in all seven chakra centers? Can you feel the sense of aliveness in your crown, the sense of spaciousness in the third eye, you know, the sense of openness in the throat, luminosity in the heart, a sense of power in your belly, and a quiet stillness and rootedness in the first chakra, the root chakra. And then throughout, you know, the entirety of your subtle energetic body, can you feel the 10,000 nadis? Nadis are like mini chakra centers. And so if you ever have a problem with feeling, then I recommend some yoga, some exercise. Wake up the body. Get out of your head and feel. Feel. You know, some of us, we live our whole life in our head. And in our body, we just, you know, sometimes we can feel aches and pains and this and that. But there's some people that were on planet Earth that are even on the spiritual path, and they don't realize what their subtle energetic body is. I mean, this is your nature. And so the whole path, you know, we have to be willing to feel, we have to be willing to experience. And so yoga is a wonderful practice. Meditation is a wonderful practice. But as we practice yoga, as we practice meditation, we want to allow the felt sense of awareness to be throughout our being, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And I'll even say this, to even feel beyond the top of the head. And so you can experiment with this. You can feel beyond yourself. You can feel the earth. And what you'll notice is your subtle energetic body, it doesn't end at your skin. Who and what you are does not end at your skin. And so the great illusion of our egoic nature is that we are these solid bodies. And that our mind, it's just one thought after the next, you know, creating this movie, which gets recorded in memory and then is turned into this feeling of me. But that's not what we are. That's just the story of our past. What you are is the silent presence, this awake, aware, luminous presence, which has been shining brightly for the entirety of your life. For the entirety of your life. And so, can you step into this? Can you feel this? Can you honor this? And say, yes, this is what I am. But in order to own it, you have to step into feeling. And so the whole path becomes this wonderful explorative journey, experiential journey, when you begin to awaken and inhabit all seven chakra centers. Now, too often I see people, they come to me and they just have the head awake, the space of awareness in their head, or they have their emotional center awake, not even the true heart, but their emotional center. And if you are one of the individuals, then I deeply recommend yoga. I deeply recommend going and getting a massage or some body work or visiting the healer or doing a meditation retreat. And because when we spend longer periods of time in silence, on retreat, in nature, doing yoga, whatever it is, our whole body wakes up. And we begin to step into this whole other world, this whole other realm of being. It's a shift of perspective out of that thought-based mind and into an experiential. An experiential, luminous sense of awareness, where you feel yourself as awareness everywhere. Everywhere, all at once. And life begins to become quite incredible. Quite incredible. And so, of course, if anyone has any questions, you're welcome to bring them forward. You're welcome to raise your hand and we'll get the microphone to you. In the meantime, I have a lot of questions, specifically around Kundalini awakening, but I want to be clear here. There's many types of energetic awakening besides Kundalini. Now, Sri Aurobindo talked about this descent coming down from heaven and awakening all the chakras, from heaven above. Whereas Kundalini is like this energy. It's like the energy of the Big Bang. It's like this seed. It's right there in your root chakra. And when it wakes up, it's like an explosive force of enlightenment, a force of awakening. It's literally lighting you up, lighting up all seven chakra centers as it rises up the spine. But there's also this descent that can come down from above. There's an ascent that can come up from below. Aurobindo spoke. He wrote volumes about these two forces. God waking up in matter. And waking up from below and coming up. And that's different than Kundalini. Kundalini is more like the creative force. But what Aurobindo was speaking about, like all of matter waking up. And see, this is the age that we're moving into, where we are beginning to see everything as energy. There's just been this explosion with the internet, where we relate through energy. People are connected to their technology all day long. I'm speaking to you now, probably across a great distance. And so the world is mimicking, the outward world, the material world is mimicking what's happening inwardly. There'll be a time when matter is less relevant. And it's all about energy. When money will simply be energy. When and everything will simply be transmitted through energy. And see, God is showing us this right now on the path. And so can you open to this? Can you experience this? And so here's a couple questions I have. This one is from Patricia. Patricia writes, she's talking about these symptoms that I had with Kundalini. She says, Craig, you spoke about having seizures and other Kundalini symptoms. Did you take medication for it? If one takes meds for Kundalini symptoms, will it stop the progress? What are the repercussions? And so I want to be crystal clear here. If you have something strange going on in your body, go see a doctor. Get checked out. See what she says. See what she says. Sometimes our spiritual awakenings can be quite intense. There can be shaking. There can be trembling. You know, we can experience it somatically. That's a good sign when we experience it somatically. When your heart awakens for the first time, it should take your breath away. It should bring tears to your eyes. But me, I'm not a medication guy, so I didn't take any medication for what I was experiencing. But when I said I had seizures, you know, what I was describing is my body would shake intensely, you know, sometimes for hours at a time. And my, you know, I had all kinds of weird neurological symptoms. And we don't need to go too crazy into that because it's rare that it gets to be that intense for anyone. But I didn't take any medication for it. I did visit the doctor just to keep my family happy and to make sure, you know, they didn't think anything terrible was going wrong with me. And it was really funny because at first the doctor told me, you know, I think you have a brain tumor. And then by the end of our journey together, $10,000 later, the doctor said, oh, I think this is, you're probably having Kundalini awakening. And that really made me laugh because I knew that all along. I knew that all along. But yeah, get checked out. Get checked out. And if your doctor says you need medication and it's wise to take medication, then by all means, take the medication. Do what's wise. But a lot of us, you know, will be on this path and we'll have huge movements of energy, huge movements of anxiety. We'll have, you know, all kinds of somatic symptoms and perhaps even some strange, bizarre neurological symptoms. And so you have to feel into this yourself and use your own judgment. You know, I have a very high pain threshold. And so even though, you know, I've had ridiculous amounts of pain in my body, and I choose not to take medication for it because medication tends to dull our experience. I mean, that's the purpose of many medications, especially if it has to do with pain. And so I chose not to dull it, but you have to be, you have to have what we call in Zen, a strong backbone to go through some of this stuff, you know, and not reach out for some support, you know, through medication or whatever. Now, some people have very spacious and open-hearted, light-hearted awakenings, and that's beautiful. But for some of us, who the awakening happens on a more physical way, it can be difficult. And so, you know, if you need medication, then take it. And don't think that it's wrong to take medication. Some people, they have so much anxiety coming forward, and that creates great pain for them, and they'll take, you know, a antidepressant or an SSRI medication. And if you do so, I just encourage you to take anything temporarily so that your body doesn't become reliant upon it. And so that's a great conversation between you and your heart and you and your doctor. Okay, Craig, how do you deal with any auditory hallucinations in waking life? Well, when we wake up, we can wake up to all these different realms. We can hear voices. We can, you know, see beings from other worlds, from the astral plane, and this and that. And all this gets really strange very quickly. And so what I tell people is to keep your feet here on planet Earth. Get grounded. And just pay attention to that which is in front of you. Just pay attention to that which is true in this reality. Now, if you have a great saint or master coming to you, I've met with a lot of people who, they've been visited by Ramana Maharshi or, Sai Baba or Amici or whoever it is. And, some of these masters are, they're no longer living on planet Earth. When I was sitting with my friend Tony, I had this experience of Saint Germain coming into the room, and it's a beautiful thing. And so if you hear something beautiful, then you take it to heart. If you hear angels speak to you, take it to heart. Now, if the angels tell you to go jump off the bridge, of course, we're not going to do that. Because sometimes what happens when people are waking up, different parts of their psychological nature, which isn't, which has a big wound or a shadow or is a little bit split or divided, sometimes some weird psychological things can come forward. So if you're hearing voices that are strange or menacing, then I'm going to encourage you just to ignore it and to focus on the goodness and the innocence of your heart. Now, the other day I was meeting with a friend, and his deceased brother kind of came into the room, and I, he had me, the brother had me tell my new friend something, and it brought us both to tears. It was quite beautiful. And so if it's something beautiful, allow it to come. If it's something too weird or bizarre, it doesn't make sense, just let it go or ignore it. And don't get carried away. If we get too carried away in this world, we'll be like one of those psychics who's always wrong about everything and lost in, all these different worlds and making grand predictions that have nothing to do with reality. And so just be careful. I like to just to keep my feet here on planet Earth. Okay, the next question. Craig, how do you deal with feeling like I'm in two worlds at the same time, this realm and the spiritual realm? That's a great question. The further you walk on the path, the more you begin to realize there's only one realm, one world. And so in the beginning of the path, I made this huge division between the spiritual realm and the worldly realm. And the great Krishnamurti, he said, one of the greatest sins that we can commit is to create this division between worldly life and the spiritual life. And so I'm going to invite you to see that all is God. Your work, your career life is God. Your relationship is God. Your children and your family, that's God. The pain from the past is God. This beautiful, innocent, spacious, awake, aware presence, this is God. All is God. And so then the question becomes, well, how do we relate to God? Do we relate to God in her highest forms? Like vast, spacious innocence and radiance and luminosity? Or are we relating to God, from a place of separation, where we feel deeply divided? And so it's a wonderful practice to look out at life and see anywhere, anywhere where we feel this sense of division. This is a place where we're creating a wall between us and life, between us and God, between us and oneness. And so any of us can look into anyone's eyes, whether they're a saint, or a beggar, and look in their eyes and see God looking back. Whether it's the most vile person or the most beautiful, can you look in their eyes and see that this too is God? This too is God. Now, of course, if there's someone dangerous in your life, you're welcome to see, okay, this is God in the form, in the form of an angel who's really drunk on their own power or their own manipulation, their own confusion. You see them as divine, but you can set a boundary. That's wise. But the further we walk on the path, the more we begin to realize that all is God. You know, if we were a scientist or a physicist, we'd see that all is energy, and energy is God. And so when you begin to open all seven chakra centers and have an intelligent sense of awake awareness there, you can look out at life. And as you do so, it's easy to see God everywhere. But in the beginning of the path, when we're trying to get our feet rooted in the spiritual life, we see that there's a spiritual world and a worldly world. And of course, you know, the idea is, yeah, it's like meditate more, do more yoga, step more fully onto the path. And as you do so, you begin to wake up from this place of humility and see all of life is God. All of life is God. All of life is a movement of intelligence, a movement of grace. Sometimes it's lower intelligence, sometimes high intelligence. And so if you want to walk on the fast path, you allow everything in life to wake you up. Everything to wake you up. Okay. One more question. How the draw to the spiritual realm, let's see if I can read this question properly. The draw to the spiritual realm seems stronger than the worldly realm, and it's difficult to deal with everyday life. And so how do I balance that? I think we balance it through what I was speaking about before. When you begin to see that everything in the world is a manifestation of God, and then the invitation is, can you walk in the direction of that which is higher? You know, I could have, studied, what could I have studied? I could have been a lawyer. I could have been a soldier, but it wasn't what was true in my heart. You know, I had a little bit of conditioning to be a soldier in this world. You know, because I grew up in a military family, but that wasn't the truth of my heart. And so to balance things, and I don't like to think of things in terms of balance. I like to think in just in terms of efficiency, if you want to walk the path in an efficient way, follow your heart. When you follow your heart, you're following God's intelligence for you. And as you do so, you will be more energetically awake. And so instead of thinking about balancing things, because I mean, we could spend the rest of our life, you know, trying to be balanced. But if you look at any great master, they weren't balanced. They stepped fully onto the path. They were one-sided. They saw everything as God. Everything is divine. There's this great yogi from South India. His name was Papa Ram Das. And everything he saw, he would say, "Hello, Ram." Ram being God. This too is Ram. He was once on this train ride to go visit with his teacher. And someone sat, you know, and if you've ever been on a train in India, they put like 800 people in a car, where in the United States we might have, you know, 45 people. And so there's these different like levels, you know, like shelves, and people will sit on the shelves. And someone was sitting on the shelf above him and kicking him in the back of the head, you know, all the way on this journey. And he was smiling, saying, "Oh, look, Ram, you're kicking me. You're kicking me, Ram. Thank you, Ram. I love you so much." And it was so funny, his devotion. But he lived in a beautifully awakened way. You know, Gandhi used to bow before Papa Ram Das because he was such a great master. And so, yes, we're not worried about being balanced. We're stepping fully on the path. That's what this teaching is about. Okay, beautiful. So this question, doesn't doing hatha yoga help with helping handling the Kundalini energies. Yes, absolutely. So if you're feeling overwhelmed with energies, if you're feeling a lot of shaking and trembling in your body, Hatha yoga, especially a light, gentle yoga, so not power yoga, not doing intense pranayama, but doing light, gentle yoga, helps to relax your energetic body. It helps to open all seven chakra centers. And when all seven chakra centers are open, the energy of awakening can flow fluidly and smoothly through your consciousness. And so Hatha yoga is very helpful. Sometimes going and seeing a counselor, a teacher, a therapist is really helpful, because oftentimes we will hold psychological pain or difficulties in one of the chakra centers, and it'll create a blockage for the Kundalini to flow. And so it's good to examine if you have some type of energy or some type of blockage or pain within you, to see a therapist. And it's nice if they're trained in in spiritual awakening, but of course that's a rare thing. But if you meet with someone who understands the seven chakra centers and what we might be holding there and how to heal the pain that we hold there, when that pain is released, when we do the work of forgiveness, when you let go of the past, when you stop reaching at the past, then we don't have this, what in yoga we call a veil. Veils is like, it's like this covering that people put on one or all the chakra centers. And so sometimes just some good healing psychological work, or letting go work, or forgiveness work, or shamanic journeying, or going off into the woods and just giving yourself permission to grieve, to let go, to smile. Then the chakras are empty and relaxed, and the energy can flow through them. Now, yes, Hatha yoga, yin yoga is great for this type of thing. And so, yes, beautiful question. Angelina writes, Craig, can Kundalini be a top-down awakening? Normally not. Normally not. But sometimes it can. So there's all these different types of awakening. The way I speak about Kundalini is, it's like there's this seed in your root chakra, and it wakes up with an explosiveness, and an energy tends to go up the spine. Now, some people call all energy Kundalini, but I'm not from that school of thought. For me, Kundalini is very specific energy that goes up the spine through all seven chakra centers. It comes out the top of the head. But can there be a different type of energetic awakening? Absolutely. Sri Aurobindo spoke about this, that this energy coming down into you from heaven above. And so right now there's this great pressure on the planet inviting all of us to awaken. God's trying to pour more fully into matter, and she wants to know, are you open? Are you receptive? Are you willing to be one of the angels who chooses to go first, to open, to be one of the quote-unquote chosen ones, and to say yes? Are you willing to be a conduit of grace? And Angelina, this is, this I believe, without of course speaking more fully to you, what I imagine what you're experiencing is this energetic awakening, this descent of grace coming down. And so you're opening to that, and so you might feel this awakening in the crown chakra, in the space of the third eye, coming down through the throat, through the heart, down into the solar plexus. And then she writes, is it common to lose toxic friendships when you open the solar plexus chakra? Well, I'll say, yeah, it's more common when you're in the solar plexus, the second chakra, the first chakra. These chakras tend to have to do with relationships, with will. Especially if there's a battle of will, and oftentimes there's that, when we're in a toxic relationship. But when you walk on the path, Angelina, You're walking into a new world, a new realm of existence. And so, yes, you are going to have things that you lose. There's going to be friendships that you lose. You're going to lose friendships that do not serve you. And this is a good thing. And you're going to keep that which does serve you. And not only are you going to keep it, but anything which will grow with you will remain. Anything which stops growing, it may stay around for a period of time, but eventually you will outgrow it. And so if you have toxic relationships in your life, yeah, they're going to fall away. And if they don't fall away, you should set a boundary and put them away. Because when you engage in toxic relationships, you lose tremendous amounts of energy. Tremendous amounts of energy. And so when you start to wake up in your heart, in your belly, in your solar plexus, you start to lose patience for toxic relationships. They make no sense anymore. It just seems like this is crazy. I'm done with that. And then you have the power just to say no and to move forward without that. Now, of course, if you're a human and you become deeply attached to a toxic relationship, sometimes the transition is more difficult than just saying no. Sometimes you have to grieve, sometimes you have to set clear boundaries. But I encourage you to walk forward. And if the person isn't going to join you in growth and living in a healthy, adult, mature way, then it's time to be done. Time to be done. So yes, beautiful question. Okay. Let's see here. Don't emotional issues of past abuse block enlightenment? Yes, they do. Do you think just keep going on in circles? Just can't get to this. Yeah, and so we have to let go of the past. We have to heal the past. We have to heal why we got there in the first place. And so oftentimes if we were in abusive relationships, it's because there's some aspect within us where we're not fully connected with our self-esteem. We're not connected with our innate sense of worthiness. And so the further you walk on the path, you begin to realize that you are an angel. You are a being of light. You have a Buddha heart. And a Buddha heart doesn't put up with abuse. You walk forward in the truth. And so yes, it's hard to be awake and in an abusive relationship. That'd be pretty much impossible because when you're awake, you see that this relationship is causing you too much pain. And so you walk away, or you work to heal it, or you do the work of forgiveness or close counseling or whatever it is. And you might even find yourself sticking around a little bit longer and seeing if the healing work is possible. Like from a place of compassion. But then at some point, if it's no good, it's no good. And you just walk forward in the truth. In the truth. And so, yes, this is a beautiful question. And yes, welcome. Welcome, Neil. Welcome, Neil. And so, all of us, we're on this healing journey. We're on this journey of awakening. And so if you want the path to go quick, you don't mess around with things which are a waste of energy, which hold you down, which create a loss of energy. And let me speak about what I mean by loss of energy. There's many things we do in the world where we just lose energy. If you're on Instagram for 3 hours a day just flipping through photos of whatever it is that you're into, dogs or cats or beautiful women or beautiful men, or I don't know what people look at on the internet, but if you're wasting your time, you're filling yourself with this mundane energy. And the mundane energy is like the opposite of a luminous energy. It's the opposite of the energy of enlightenment. And so you can't be doing things that create loss of energy. If you're like invested in gambling and thinking you're going to win $1 million and you keep just gambling and going back, if you have these repetitive thought patterns about your parents or your children, that your parents wronged you and you're just going over the story over and over again without doing the healing work to forgive them and to let go, to step more fully into the light, yeah, you'll simply be losing energy. I call it like bleeding energy. And so to be on this path, you have to be empowered. And in order to be empowered, you have to be awake and aware of everything that's happening within you. So there's no great shadow. Be a small shadow, but no great shadow. So everything with a form has a shadow. But if you have a huge shadow, a huge wound, and you're not addressing it, yeah, then it's like good luck with spiritual awakening. You might have an experience of awakening, but it won't stick. It won't stick. Okay. let's see. Another question here. This is from Ajit. Hi, Craig. Thanks for the reply. And I also saw your satsang. Craig, one question is haunting me. I've noticed my mind has gone blank permanently. And it feels like I'm in a coma. I'm emotionless. I want to see the doctor, but everything is normal. Did you encounter anything like this? Please reply. Thank you, Ajit. Yes. And so, on the path of spiritual awakening, the Buddha spoke about this experience of emptiness. Different teachers speak about freedom. The Buddha spoke about spaciousness and emptiness. There'll be times when God comes into you, or the force of awakening, of course, which is the same thing, and all of a sudden your mind will be absolutely blank. It may be inconvenient, if you're doing math or you're doing some accounting or, you're at the store and you forget your grocery list. You don't know why you're here. But I encourage you simply to open, Ajit, to trust. To trust that what grace is doing is emptying you out. And so instead of going into fear, I encourage you to let go into the spaciousness. Let go into the silence. Experience the joy, the thrill of absolute silence. About 90% of what we think is, how should I say this politely? Well, it's just like a waste of time. Like just that story, that ongoing commentary in the head, in the mind. It's a waste. And part of spiritual awakening is you wake up and you realize there's nothing for me to think about. But if you keep walking forward, instead of going into fear, if you come into your heart and just notice that your heart has this very silent intelligence, and it'll come forward just as this very gentle energy that will move you in one direction or another, and you'll have some very simple thoughts. And so be simple. And so, just like what's happening with you, you said you notice your mind is blank permanently, and sometimes when it comes, all at once, it can be a shock, and we'll say things like, "It's blank permanently," but I assume when you're hungry, you eat. When it's time to go potty, you go potty. When it's time to go to bed, you go to bed. There was a thought for you to go to the doctor and get checked out, and she said, "You look great. No problem." And so just open and trust. I mean, my wife finds it very frustrating living with me because I'm so blank, so much of the time, and she's always trying to talk to me about something. She said, "Don't you have any thoughts on this?" I'm sorry, sweetie. Let me see if I can make up some thoughts. Let me see if I can make up some thoughts about this or that. And so I kind of have to jumpstart the whole mind thing. Sometimes just to connect with her on that level. But see, in an intuitive way, in an energetic way, my heart is open and my heart is connecting with her heart. My heart is connecting with her heart. And so the more you walk this path and say your mind becomes blank, can you allow your heart to connect with all of life? Can you allow your heart? Can you allow your direct experience, your feeling nature, to connect with all of life? Now, many years ago, my wife and I, we did a little road trip down to Santa Fe to see Amichi, the great Hindu master, the great yogic master, Ama from Kerala, from South India. We went and saw her. We had a wonderful time. And on the way home, we were driving across the desert back up toward Colorado. And my heart was just overwhelming, just exploding with love. And I was quiet, and my wife was sitting next to me in the car, and she just felt also so overwhelmed with love. The experience that was happening in my body was happening in her body. We didn't need to talk about it. We didn't need to think about it. We didn't need to process it. We didn't need to write a blog about it. We just experienced this sense of love together. And the more you walk on this path, Ajit, if you open your heart and simply allow your mind to be blank, what you'll find is there's this great intelligence that moves you. It's an intelligence which is silent, yet occasionally it'll speak up. And it'll feel radically different than your thinking mind. And then the funny thing, there's this funny thing that happens is your thinking mind eventually, like your normal thinking mind, it gets so flooded with silence that when it does come forward again, you see that all thought is made of silence. Like this silent, luminous, spacious energy. Whereas when we first step on the path, our thoughts are really heavy and they could drown us. They make us so tired and stressed out. But the further you walk on the path, you see that thought is simply made up of emptiness. Everything is empty, is what the Buddha wrote. Everything. But empty is also full, empty is also alive, empty is also luminous, it's also radiant. And so this is a great paradox, a great paradox, Ajit. And so anyways, I want to thank everyone for joining me. I want to thank, everyone who donated, especially this last week. I'm going to say thank you to Marco and to Barbara and to Ashley. And thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing your heart with me, your love, this time together. Thank you. And so, of course, if you want to offer a donation for the satsang, you can visit my website, craigholiday.com. There's a PayPal link there, and you can support this. But the big way we support this is through sharing these teachings, living these teachings. These teachings, they don't belong to me. We are all in this stream of Dharma. We are in this stream of light. And so join me in this. Live the teachings. Share the teachings. If you're on YouTube, press the like button. Share the teachings. Share the grace. Share the beauty of your heart. Let there be a revolution of the heart, a revolution of the Dharma, a revolution, inner revolution where all of yourself, the fullness of your being, is waking up. All seven chakra centers are waking up, and you're sharing your light with the world. This is what this path is about. Share your beauty, your innocence, and your glory. So thank you all so much. May peace be with you. May you all have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever time of day it is where you are. God bless you.